Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, the podcast for bowhunters who have jobs. This is your podcast.
You made it.
You are a contributing member of society, and you like to bowhunt, and this is your podcast. Welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for the support. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully, if you're tuning into this, you've been to workingclassbowhunter.com and seen all the sweet stuff we have for sale on our website.
Sweet stuff, new stuff.
Yeah, and some new swag on. You're planning on being optimistic and hoping COVID can go get effed and you'll be at the Nebraska show to come hang out with us. That's what this podcast is about. It is basically, without going any deeper or being obvious with it, it's to promote the show.
Yep.
Especially in tough times like we're living in right now, what better way to help people that are running shows and stuff like this? If it all happens how we're wanting, please come out to the show. Support people. Support the people that are there with their small businesses at the booths. Come say hi. Come hang out. Spend money or not, just be there. Come out and say hi. Have fun. Let's
have a beer.
Let's get this community out. Let's not be scared. We can't live in fear forever. Let's do this shit. It's a hunting community. Let's build each other up. Good time. So
that was very well said.
Getting that. Thanks, man.
That was nice.
I try. The podcast is brought to you
by...
Would you go?
I think I will.
I can't wait to see you there, man. And the podcast is presented by HHA Sports, and they've been kind enough to save you some money during these trying times with code WCB15 at HHASports.com. Oh, we're so dumb. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Sin Crusher.
They've been accused of being smart.
Hey, wage brains. Loophold, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Big Tine, and Old Barn Taxidermy. Some cool things there. You know, HHA, the code WCB15. Thermoseat gives out the code for our listeners, WCTS, at Thermoseat's website. We also have our own Working Class Thermoseat.
They go on our website, and we have them right there.
Yep. Also, Gator Outdoors lifestyle brand, and they still are currently carrying some of your favorite brands. Use code WCB10 to save yourself some money there. Also, Big Time code up till the end of the year, WCB2020. They got some good things coming, some podcasts coming down the line with Big Time. And Old Barn is still doing the basically the entry contest for Working Class listeners. You kill a deer, bring it into them, get entered in to win a free shoulder mount for next year just from the pot of Working Class listeners. So We got maybe three listeners out there in the country. So if you're, you know, you one of five by this point, by the time this airs, you have a 1 in 5 chance to win the free shoulder mount at Old Barn Taxidermy, Fort Madison, Iowa. Check it out. Thanks to our partners. You guys are the shit.
Throw shit on the ground.
We're being efficient. And Doug has a veteran shout out.
We're just running right through it.
Do it.
Okay, this was submitted by Sarah Hurst. And the veteran name is Cody Hurst. He was in the Army. It says Cody is retired from the United States Army, where he was an infantryman. He currently works at the Army Depot in Pennsylvania and is a father to three kids. He was deployed in Iraq from 2006 to 2007. He's an avid hunter and fisherman and enjoys taking our three kids hunting and fishing with him. He started out his own nonprofit called Freedom Warrior Outdoors that helps get disabled vets as well as retired or active military out hunting and fishing.
Very cool.
He's always willing to help anyone out. So thanks for your service, Cody, and that's really awesome that he does that.
That is cool. Shout that out again. What's the name of it?
I got to find it. Freedom Warrior Outdoors.
Freedom Warrior Outdoors.
Yep.
I'm assuming they have Instagram and Facebook and all that, but I doubt they put all that in there. But
no, they didn't, but we can look it up.
Very cool. Awesome, man.
Very awesome.
Well, thank you for your service and giving back. That's really cool.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Yeah, very cool. Well, awesome. Thanks, Doug.
Welcome.
For reading that. Thank you, sir, thank for your you, service. Thank you, Cody. Yeah, thanks, Cody. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Cheers to you. In studio right now, myself, Kurt Geyer.
Eric Hammond.
We have
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
The Lord. And we have guest host all the way from Hayward, Wisconsin.
Jordan Gensmer.
What's up, buddy?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. First time ever on a podcast?
It is.
You're from North Wisconsin.
Northwoods, Wisconsin, yep.
So, Leinenkugels.
Leinenkugel country, yep.
I like it, man. Well, I think we need to transfer all our beer to Leinenkugels. I'd be okay with that, I think.
Good idea.
We could do it. You guys have... So,
hear that Bush Light?
I wouldn't be mad about it.
Hear that?
He knows all about Leinenkugels. His lodge that his business he has up there, Angler's Haven Resort, is a certified Liney lodge.
Yeah, explain that quick before we dive into this whole podcast.
Yeah, I always wondered how that all worked.
The short story of it is we are an honorary Liney lodge. Basically, we sell a lot of Leinenkugels. We're loyal to their brand, and they reward us with being an honorary Liney lodge.
Really?
Is there a bunch of them in Wisconsin?
We're the first ever honorary Liney Lodge. Liney Lodges, but we're an honorary Liney Lodge.
Oh,
so there's one down on a lake south of us that's another one. So there's only two.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
It's got a ring to it.
So you guys are the big Liney boys lodge. Of serving Leinenkugels in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
They're kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal. I feel like you're downplaying this a little bit.
We're humble.
Okay. I'll say...
Very humble.
You should be
very
more cocky humble. About that. That's pretty fucking cool.
We are the Liney.
Shout out, Pull Back and Let Go.
It's a thing I came up with. I'm an avid bow hunter, and just kind of came across my wage brain one day, and I thought that sounds kind of cool, and so I dug into it deeper. I kind of researched it and thought it might be a cool thing to just screw around with and start an Instagram page, and now I got clothing and a website and
some really high quality clothing, so, very nice stuff.
It's been going good so far.
You're a man of many hats because
some high quality shit.
Yeah.
It is, man.
And for the record, you didn't come on here like, "Hey, let's plug all this stuff. I'm doing it for you." Pink House Neon.
Yep. My original deal out of high school was instead of go to college, I'm kind of a hands-on guy, so I apprenticed a guy in Bristol, Tennessee to learn how to do neon signs, bend glass, and yeah, so long story short, I started my own business back in my hometown and then was doing lots of trips back and forth from Winona, Minnesota to Hayward. And yeah, I got a lot of little stories there. But the shorts of it, I started a neon shop and then I moved to Hayward and I still do it. And I bought a house up there and it has an old kind of like a farmhouse and I kind of converted it into a neon shop. And when we bought it, it was really ugly and kind of a salmon-y pink color, so that's where Pink House Neons was born.
So when you say neon shop, neon signs, old-school, legit
bending, yes, correct.
Very cool. It's like you're doing all the intricate hand detail,
heating it up, bending it.
Yep.
Almost like lost art type shit, right?
Yep. Like everybody I know that does it is 50 plus.
How'd you learn how to do that?
Just apprenticed an old guy down in Tennessee and... He was kind of on the retiring side of things and bought half of his equipment. He came to my hometown, Winona, Minnesota, and helped me set up, and it's just kind of been a thing ever since.
How'd you I want to go into learning how to make neon signs?
Was it Brooks and Dunn?
On
the neon moon?
You hung out at bars a lot and stared at them.
Yeah. It's just a long process. You learn how to bend first, and then you learn... The rest of the process, bombarding and mounting and the whole thing. So
it's insane to watch. I went up there and drank whiskey and we listened to heavy metal and he cranked out a little piece for the sign he's working on, and it's It is an art form, man. It's cool to watch.
Yeah, you're in the middle of making the working class bow hunter logo.
I am.
As a neon sign.
I'm currently fighting the microphone.
Yeah.
But it's going to look legit, and it's going to be cool, and we're just going to have some perfect mistakes until we get there.
That's awesome, dude. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
So say there's a hunting podcast, a hunting show, a hunting brand, a guy with a side business, a construction business. He's like, that'd be cool to have in the man cave or my business. Like, he can just get a hold of you and you can do that stuff?
Yeah, I don't have a website for the neon stuff, but just look up Pink House Neons on Instagram and message me there.
Very cool. That's awesome,
man.
That's
so bizarre.
Interesting trades.
How bizarre.
Yes.
Resort, hunting project, neon shop.
Yep.
What else?
That's it. That's
awesome. I bet you no one else
can pull off.
No one else in this nation has that same deal going on.
Great beard. Yeah.
He's a man of many talents.
Yeah.
Just still trying to punch that tag, you know? That's the one thing I'm trying to get off my back is that whitetail.
Yeah. Got a bunch of cool cars and shit, too.
You're down here hunting with Chandler.
Yep.
Very cool, man.
The Lord.
The Lord.
We're giving it a go. We're trying to get him on a big one, but the weather's not really cooperating. It's cold, but we don't have snow, and it's not cold enough to just make them get out on their own.
We need some snow.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, hopefully we'll check back in with you. We got like a full blast podcast coming with you here eventually. But it was cool. You're in town. Might as well come in, guest host for a little bit, and hang
Love
out.
It. So. Sweet operation.
So cool. Thanks for being a part, man, and supporting us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, cool, man. Let's get this whole show on the road and learn a little bit about the Nebraska show. We're being optimistic, so thanks for joining the podcast. All right, we are here with Mr. Nebraska Deer and Game Expo, Chris Edwards. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We were at the show last year.
Yep.
Had a ton of fun. It was cool to hang out. It was a good time, man. All around, good vibes.
The show was a ton of fun. The drive there was not so much
well,
fun.
Well, we had a blizzard.
A blizzard on the way there, but hey, we made it.
Yeah, if I remember right, you guys might have one night saw a guy snap his leg in half, right?
Yeah. So,
live action.
Quick story. We went out for some drinks after the show, which, you know, we're known to do from time to time.
Just one or two.
We had right back home,
beers,
go to bed.
Guilty.
Get ready for the show. Yeah, guilty. And we watched a guy. It was like the just snowy, wintry weather of January in Nebraska. And a dude slipped and snapped his shin straight in half when we watched it happen. And it was felt bad for the poor gentleman. We're assuming he was on a first date. By the reactions of the girl that was with him, because she was kind of like embarrassed by him and like didn't want to call 911.
Yeah, it was weird. She was like, just get up already. Like, you're fine.
I'm pretty sure it was a Tinder date for sure. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I've never seen a cowboy boot bend that way. So that's all I saw.
God, quit being a little bitch. Get up.
It's tough in Nebraska. So.
Yeah, Nebraskans are tough, apparently.
So thanks for letting us experience that, Chris. It was good for us, you know, deep down.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's none of that this year. You know, it's as much, you know, that this year was probably that ice storm. You know, we get snow, but it's rare for us to get ice like that. So it kind of sucked last year or this year, whatever you want to call it.
Well,
that was a little rough on that Friday. I don't think we had hardly anybody through the door that Friday, but it's pretty good the rest of the weekend. But Friday was rough.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, that's just like the kind of the gamble of having a show. You know, trade shows are always like in this weird wintertime area when not a whole lot's going on. So great time, but the weather can really mess up a weekend.
You never know what's going to happen.
Right. But, but man, with COVID and all that, you know, everyone's like all the shows last year after that got canceled. You know, we did the Nebraska show, the Iowa show, and then everything else was just kind of getting called off, which is a huge bummer. And I've been looking forward to this show since last year when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And with COVID going on, you know, it's got everybody concerned and all that. But assuming everything's going normal, I mean, how are you feeling right now about it?
I mean, I'm feeling good. You know, I stay in touch with the staff at the event center and talk about what's going on. And, you know, the concern was is coming out of Thanksgiving, you know, the cases had kind of gone up here in Nebraska, so they had essentially a shutdown, no more than 10 to a gathering, and that was supposed to be through the 18th, but over the weekend Governor Ricketts came out and he, you know, reeled back on all of those because everything was starting to dive back down. So he pushed back into the yellow and everything's back up to 50% occupancy, which is, that's great for the event center. I mean, that's, I think at 25%, they were still at like 10,000 people. So,
oh, great.
That's good.
Great.
Yeah. So, well, you know, plenty of opportunity for people to come into the show. Our floor plan even last year was already set up the way they wanted it, you know, 10-foot aisles for social distancing and all that stuff. We already had that last year, so we didn't have to do anything different. We were happy about that.
That's good, man. That's good news to hear. That makes me feel really optimistic about it because, you know, we love doing these shows and we love mixing up with people and interacting with people who might know who the hell we are or go out and hang out. They're just our people, you know. We like to bullshit and have fun.
Well, even if this show goes on, they might give us that little advantage like, hey, this year might happen for all the rest of the shows, you know.
Yeah,
for sure. Let's take this one
off. Well, yeah, I was, you know, I kind of knowing our community and the type of people that we have within the hunting and outdoor industry and just community in general itself, it surprised me how many shows were already, you know, canceling early on this year for 2021.
Right. I wonder if a lot of it is just people, like, not wanting to worry about, like, the headache of, like, planning on it, then it being canceled, so they just canceled it. But, like, last year we were in that weird dancing around area, like, Ohio show. I remember, like, hey, we're getting ready to go to Ohio. No. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Okay, officially canceled. But then we had to, like, look up if it was actually canceled. Like, you couldn't find it anywhere.
Right.
And, but yeah, I mean, you get blue collar, more Republican mindset type people. You know, we get the cold and we drink beer and dip and eat dead shit all the time. Like, what's a coronavirus going to do? You know, fuck it. Let's go.
Well, and that's, you know, that's just it. You know, it, you know, I get it. Probably a lot of these bigger companies that, you know, they got to keep the peace or keep everybody happy. And I'm just not that way. I'm like, this is my belief. This is what I think. If you don't like it, fuck you. And,
you know,
you can do your own thing. And you don't like it, don't come out. But I think our community is the type of people that they probably feel the same way.
Agreed. I think they are, too. And that's what we liked about you. I mean, we hit it off with you right away, you know, interacting with you at our booth and stuff at the show. We're like, this is our type of guy. And, I mean, it was cool, man. The show was a ton of fun. The people were a ton of fun out there. And then afterwards for the vendors, like, you guys, remember you bought the fight. There's a big UFC fight and you threw a little fight watch there for everybody. So, I mean, you took care of all the vendors and it was cool, man. We've been looking forward to it. We're like, you know, hopefully no snowstorm next year because I think there'd be twice as many people without that. And then, you know, of course, COVID falls on our lap. But that's cool. At 50%, even at 50%, that's still a ton of people that can come into that show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's not going to be a problem pushing enough people through there. You know, we'll be doing – I've kind of held off on, you know, doing a lot of advertising just because – you know, I didn't want to spend a bunch of money and then, you know, get punched in the balls. So,
sure.
Right.
I've held off, but I'm starting to line stuff up and we're going to flood some advertising on radio and TV and, just get the word out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's more confident than saying, hey, we're going to be at the show and we're going to be there.
Yeah, we're gonna rock it either way. What kind of booths are being booked at the show? I don't know how to word that. What kind of people are gonna be there?
What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I'm asking it though. What kind of people are being there?
Beer drinkers.
Stick to your guns.
Beer drinkers and killers.
That's right.
Let me
ask you this then. Let me get finer into that. What booth besides ours are you most excited about?
Well, you know, I definitely need to be really excited about our title sponsor, which they're back with us for a second year, and that really makes us happy that they believe in us and come back, and that's Whitetail Properties Real Estate. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a new show this year, and, you know, they believed in us enough to be our title sponsor and support us, and they came out to the show last year, and They're right up front again, booth 19. They have a great setup when they're there. I think it looks great. Got a great group of guys with Luke Wallace and Jason Shent and a couple other guys that come in there. I don't know all of them, but those are two of them that I know pretty good, and just really good group of guys that they love the outdoor industry. They want to support Nebraska, and you know, I'm happy they're with us and they continue to stay with us and support us. So, that's one booth I'm excited about. Of course, we got, another one, Bass Pro Shops. Cabela's will be with us again.
Very cool.
That's awesome. They're our associate sponsor again this year. Again, you know, they believed in us enough last year or this year to, become a sponsor and, enjoyed the show and thought it was, a good enough show this year to continue sponsoring us in 2021. So, they'll be back out. They'll have a, big booth again. I don't know if they'll, you know, last year they had, the drawing you could enter to win the, trip down to, oh, I always forget the name of their lodge, the lodge that's down there in, Missouri at Bass Pro Shops down there, but you could win that. I don't know if they're gonna be doing anything like that again this year, but they'll be out there. And of course, we've got Whitetail Adrenaline coming out this year.
Oh, nice. Jared Scheffler and the crew, those guys are awesome. Yep.
Yeah, everybody loves those guys.
Oh boy,
you better be ready to drink beer if them guys are around.
Yeah, that's for sure. So we're excited to have them out here. I know Jared and Chancey are supposed to be there. I don't know who else from the crew might be down there, but for sure those two are supposed to be there. Jared will be doing seminars all 3 days on public land whitetail hunting, so be a good opportunity to come out. And you know that guy, you know, we have all their videos we watch. That's what we watch at deer camp when we're up there. There's about 3 weeks that I spend at deer camp each year, and that's 2 weeks before our rifle season and then our rifle season. And I watch a lot of that. And I just, if there's a guy that can do spot and stock hunting, he's the guy, man. I mean,
out of a minivan.
Oh yeah. In grass that looks like you went out and mowed it with your lawnmower every day. And
right.
He's out there and, you know, he's getting close enough that he's whacking them things with, you know, traditional.
Yeah, longbows, you know, and recurves.
He's getting in on them. So, you know, I enjoy that. I was kind of excited when
I didn't know
I was able to book them to come out.
Yeah, I didn't know he was coming out. That's a big, big draw. Those guys are so awesome. And Jared is literally big shout out to them guys. That he did our podcast, I think, like episode 15. We didn't.
It might have been before that.
It might have been. We didn't have no, like, we weren't established. We barely knew what the fuck we were doing. I was nervous as hell to interview him. I've known his videos, like, have all his videos too. Watch them the same way you said. And he's busy, so we can never. The reason why he hasn't been on is frequent because we can't really get our schedules to align. Right. And
but he gave us a shot, and he was like one of the boys off the first 10 minutes.
But I'll walk by his booth thinking he's busy, you know, at a show. And I'll be walking by and get near past and be like, Kurt! And I'll turn around and be like, sorry, dude, I thought you were busy. What's up, dude? You ain't going to come over and say hi?
Right.
It's like, oh, dude, sorry, man. I didn't know. I thought you were being big time, you know?
Yeah,
big time. So that's cool. That's really cool that he's there. That's a big, big draw. That's worth it in itself to come screw us, you know?
Yeah, heck no. I'm excited that you guys are back, you know? It's
we're number four.
Yeah, we're fourth.
No. I'm on the podcast with you guys. I don't think I had to talk about the fact that you guys are going to be out there and how I feel about you. Shit.
Oh, yeah. No,
we talked about broken bones and fight and shit. I mean.
No, we're
the total package.
Yeah, we're the total package, but we're not the main attraction, you know? Like, we just got a little bit of it all. We dabble here and there. But Whitetail Adrenaline, that's a good one.
Yeah, last year we had to steal electricity from the neighbors.
What?
Yeah, the guys with the boats, we stole their electricity.
Oh, yeah.
We took them their electricity. Oh, we thought it was ours, and they're like, hey, is this your extension cord? We're like, yeah, we thought this was electrical, and then we ended up didn't have an electrical or something. He's like, oh, we don't give a shit. Just go ahead and steal it.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize. I wasn't there when we set up.
But, yeah, neither.
But, yeah, I mean, nice. I think, Eric, didn't you take a nap? Well, I don't know if Cabela's would love this.
But in the canvas tent.
Yeah, they had their tent set up in the booth, and we were all hung over, which we tend to be at shows sometimes.
Us? I went and took a little snooze in the cot in the canvas tent.
Nice.
I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that one. But so Whitetail Adrenaline, I mean, what other ones are you excited about?
We got Melissa Bachman out again. She'll be doing seminars. You know, I don't know if you know Melissa at all.
Oh, yeah.
I've met her through, I know she's been on your podcast, but
yeah.
I've met her through my involvement with the Big Game Conservation Association is where I first met her. She was a special guest at one of our banquets a few years ago. And down to earth. I mean, she's one of us when it comes to, you know, she loves to hunt. She's real and she's great with the kids. And I don't know how many kids and ladies she's brought into the sport, but she's a great ambassador.
Yeah, she really
just
is.
For the hunting community. So,
we're big fans of Melissa and we keep going back like off on these tangents, but Melissa is another one of those that was on our show really early on and we've done a few, with her, but I want to tell a funny story about last year's show real quick, if you don't mind. So,
oh God,
absolutely.
So we brought.
I mean, how many of these funny stories are you going to tell from this show? Well, that make you want to come out and see us at the show, right?
Yeah, keep telling them. Yeah.
I'm building this up. See what I'm doing? So I brought my brother-in-law with to the show last year, and I just wanted him to experience like the outdoor show like atmosphere and come out and have some fun. So, and he coyote hunts a little bit, but he doesn't watch like hunting media, television. He doesn't listen to the hunting podcast, nothing like that.
I totally forgot about that.
And he's a really outgoing, like bubbly personality, real fun, down to earth guy. And so we got him all decked out in working class gear, and he kind of looks like he's part of the crowd. But he had like this ridiculous mullet at the time.
And, Joe Dirt mullet.
And he's the kind beautiful. Of the type. Yeah, Joe Dirt mullet. He's the beautiful. Type of guy, like, he's just fun. Like, he's loud, and he's like, hey, what's up? And he's just bubbly and just outgoing. Well, he sees Melissa Bachman walk by, and he doesn't know who Melissa Bachman is. And he's like, dang, did you see that chick? You know, like, in the booth. And I'm like, hey, Jake, like, this is, like, one of the baddest female hunters on the planet. And I like, kind of gave him the spiel.
The baddest.
I'm like, yeah, like, kills lions, like, talked about, I kind of explained the whole like lion controversy she went through a few years, you know, for 5-6 years ago, and gave him the rundown of who Melissa Bachman. Well, I guess he forgot, or he just didn't care.
He didn't remember.
Yeah, and it was he's just being fun, you know. And Melissa like walked by, and we were talking to her, like, oh hey, what's up? She's like, oh hey, what's going on, guys? And Jake like, without skipping a beat, it's just like, dang, you're sexy. Like, just
to Melissa Bachman.
Just hitting on her, but being like bubbly and fun and friendly. He wasn't being like a creep by any means, but just being bubbly and funny, right. You know, kind of joking with her. And she just like rolled with his punches, like, oh, thank you. Yeah, like, just was like, gave it right back to him, like, okay, yeah, you're going to do that. And then she was funny, like, walked off, and I'm like, Jake, I was like, you just like hit on the baddest female hunter on the planet. Like, that girl was just. Like, that girl would hip toss you and throw you on the dirt so fast. It was just, I just love that story, and that might not mean anything to anybody but me, but Jake being a non-hunter, being like this bubbly guy, too, like trying to hit on Melissa Bachman.
No idea who Melissa Bachman was.
Yeah, and then it not working was right. Like the funniest thing ever. Like, it just shows, like, she's been in this game a while. Oh, there ain't nothing that's going to catch her off guard. But anyway, that's a one funny story from the show. Sorry about that, but I guess I thought it was worth mentioning.
That's just one of the many funny stories, right?
His sister, right. which is funny, his sister, you know, he's my brother-in-law, my wife loves that story and thought that was like the funniest thing ever when we got home. I told her about that. Because, I mean, you know what I mean? She understands like what Melissa Bachman is, you know? So sorry, right. Melissa.
Did she listen to this?
Probably not, but sorry if you are listening.
She probably just laughed about it.
Oh, dude, she laughed it off. It was so funny.
Got a crazy crew.
Crazy crew, but yeah, Melissa Bachman in the house. I'm sorry, I keep cutting off these stories. I don't mean to keep doing that. It's just funny.
Oh, no, absolutely. We got to talk about all the fun that people have coming out to the show.
That's right.
You know, it's, you know, we got a lot of exhibitors, but of course, you know, we want to talk about, we'll have the big buck contest going again. So I've been seeing a lot of big bucks on the Bucks of Nebraska page. They've been posting a lot of them, so I'm hoping we see a few of those out at the show this year. And then, of course, we got the 3D shoot going on again, and this year they're expanding that out. It's going to be bigger. They're going to add some more, I don't know, scenery, trees, shrubs, stuff, whatever. Make it a little more exciting of a shoot. So definitely want to bring your bow out for that and check that out. And
can anyone enter in that?
Yep, anybody can enter.
We just got to get somebody from our crew to enter that. Who's doing it?
Doug.
Doug, you're in.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, you're doing it.
Doug, you should do it.
All right.
You're going to be wearing one of those stupid helmets with the two beers on each side, you know?
Can I?
Well, I probably can't put beers in them if you're shooting your bow, but would you do it, Doug? Would you do the 3D shoot?
The celebrity 3D shoot, Doug. Mustache.
Oh, you don't even call me celebrity, but...
No, we can put your Dale Earnhardt jacket on.
Easy. Oh, shit. Easy. I don't want to put too much pressure on me.
Be a celebrity.
Come on, man.
All right, I'll do it.
Nice. Do it for the people.
Doug's in.
Doug's in.
There you go, man. Chris, you heard it.
I would love to shoot it, but I don't have time.
Yeah, I'm too good for that, pal. I don't have time for that.
Jeez, Chris.
My wife would probably not be too happy with me if I shagged out, you know, shoot the 3D while she's got to keep working.
Yeah, it's a great excuse, man. It's a great excuse. The owner of the show runs everything. I'm busy.
I got to shoot.
Sure you are, yeah.
Go ask my wife.
I need to go over here and check this out, make sure everything's running smooth.
I need to check the overhead rotary girt. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Well, Doug's going to shoot it.
Apparently,
there
I am.
There we go.
Sorry, Doug.
Bring your Dale Earnhardt jacket.
No, I don't know about that.
And your sunglasses, you'll be good.
Just don't wear anything working class until you like start doing a little good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if I win?
Nice. Well, then you're going to have to claim your prize and decked out in WCB gear.
What is the prize if you win?
Well, you get a plaque, and then I don't want to talk about it just yet, but everybody that enters the 3D shoot, they'll be put into a hat for a prize, which...
A date with Melissa Bachman. We'll go with that for now.
Yeah, there you go. I can't confirm what the prize is. I haven't... I would like to talk about it.
Okay, we won't push you.
But I can't because I don't have. I have confirmation, but I don't have confirmation. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Now sure. I get it.
Makes sense.
I don't want to promote somebody and then not.
I'm hearing you, David Melissa Bachman. We got it.
Yeah. So, but
he's like, shut up.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't do that.
You know, and then of course, you know, I mean. A main attraction. We got this. Yeah, there's this really cool place that's in the back, and it's gonna have a counter, and there's gonna be people there serving like Bush lattes,
what?
And other beers, and probably some mixed drinks. So I mean, I think that'll be a pretty solid attraction.
You have a place that does that,
like a bar.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
I think that one's going to be pretty popular.
I'll check it out.
What happens is you bring your cash that you – all right, here's what I do when I go to a trade show, and I know I'm going to spend money. I budget myself to a certain amount of cash in my pocket, and that cash is meant for spending on hunting products and not beer. So beer is like kind of free reign. I spend what I want on beer, and then I
– You have $3 left to spend on hunting equipment.
Well, no, I debit my beer and stuff because that's I gotta maintain.
Oh, okay,
right? Like it's like a necessity at this point. And then the cash in my pocket is to buy stuff at like booths and like support people like DVD. I like hunting DVDs and collecting DVDs and stuff like that, which they're kind of disappearing. But like White Children on does that, you know. I always get their DVDs, like a cool shirt or something like that. And then I drink so much beer that I go to the ATM again, and then my whole budgeting that I planned in the first place is out the window, and I have a good time, and I don't regret it. My wife doesn't get mad at me. So that's how I go about trade shows.
It's worked out so far, so.
Yeah. I'm not divorced yet. Like, it's been filed, but, like, it's so far it's good, you know?
It's a bold strategy.
I won't sign it.
I ain't gonna sign shit.
It's there. I just haven't signed it.
I spend all my money at the trade show. Half of nothing's nothing. You know what I mean? It's my theory.
You got to drink beer. I mean, you've got tree stands. You've got a bow. You got camo. I mean, if by some chance you're not able to buy stuff other than beer... I mean, you'll make it through the season, right?
Yeah,
right.
You already got all the stuff.
Right. We're good. We got everything we need.
You can look at the stuff for next season. That's what you can do.
Yeah, we're so dumb. There's a good percent of people that are, like, following my sarcasm there, and then there's, like, a great percent of them that are like, I don't know what this dude is talking about. But either way, if you're here.
All I know is he's getting divorced.
Yeah, it's not actually happening, for the record. Yeah, but I know about. Yeah, man, cool. Like, awesome vendors. Beer, that's cool. Cabela's, Whitetail Properties, the Big Buck Competition. I mean, there's a lot to see, a lot to do. Beforehand, I'd never heard about a show in Nebraska going on. You always hear about the Iowa show, Ohio, Madison, and, like, PA, of course. But, before last year, Nebraska wasn't on our radar. And I don't know if that is a common thing, but obviously for people who live in Nebraska, it needs to be.
Well, yeah, and see, we didn't we hadn't had a show out here in Nebraska since, I think it was like 2014 or 2015. We had the Nebraska Buck and Bird Classic, and, you know, I don't really know what happened. They tried to move it to the summer one year and just couldn't get the vendors, because that's when a lot of the shows down south are, and then they just quit doing it. So I had been talking about a show in Nebraska for quite a few years, and that we needed one back, and saying that, you know, as I tell my wife, I was interested in doing one, and finally this year, well, last year, she said, either stop talking about it or do it, for God's sake. I'm tired of listening to you. So to me,
good woman,
that was the green light. So I got to go ahead to do it. So that's what started planning. And so, you know, we're like, let's bring one back. And, you know, I've got a lot of really good friends that, you know, help me out, you know, come out and work and help me get everything ready for the show. And, you know, I appreciate that. You know, I think you guys met Jeremy Schaefer last year, but he's kind of my right-hand man in a lot of things. He helps me out with a lot of stuff. And, you know, I appreciate him, and his wife and daughter come out and help too. So it's very appreciative. Glad we have the show back. You know, even my wife giving me the green light. She's the one that's in the show office all weekend, taking care of all that stuff for me. So she supports me in all of my crazy ideas that I have. I mean, I'm all over the place. I'm not a man of one trade. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. So
it's the way to be, man.
That's how we all are.
It's, you know, 20 years in the Navy, I missed a lot of hunting seasons, missed a lot of passions that I enjoy. And so since I retired, that's kind of what my life revolves around outside of my family. And my wife supports me, and thank goodness she likes to hunt, and my son likes to hunt. So, you know, it works out.
Well, yeah, thank you for your service, too.
Yeah, thank you for that, man. I guess I wasn't aware of that.
Thank you.
Very cool, man. Well,
I enjoyed it. Yep.
Good, man. Good. Yeah, that's awesome. It's dude, the show is so much fun. It's kind of cool. Like, you thought about it. The wife gave you the go ahead, and normally that's all it takes for certain guys, you know. And you jumped on it, man. And I thought last year was a ton of fun. We had a blast. We just love, like, the trade show atmosphere in general. It's our type of thing, and we're excited to come back. And I'm glad that we're powering through this, like, weird time. And I feel good about it happening. And I just hope people really come out. And I think what's good this year for the show is that people are going to, like, kind of stir crazy. They want to, they want to go mix it up. They want to be out of the house. They want to just do what they normally did before all this bullshit.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Yep. It's, you know, 2020 has been a, year for the books, that's sure. And, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't want to dive too much into stuff, but, You know, I'm a patriot, so it's my thoughts on a lot of this stuff are.
We're catching a drift already.
Gotcha. Yeah,
we're right there with you. Yep. Say no more, fam.
So it's
we're picking up what you're putting down.
I smell it.
I'm glad
we're in the same boat, man. I mean, we live in Illinois, right? I mean, what worse state to live in, being the mindset of our people? So, you know, it's Illinois is, you know, majority wise is a country folk, country type vibe for the most part, but you have Chicago.
Yeah, it's a red state with Chicago.
Right.
Yep, it's Chicago. I was gonna name a list. You got Chicago. You got
Chicago.
You got Naperville. You got Aurora.
Yeah, but you know, you look across the country, and that's pretty much the way it is across the country. I mean, look at California.
Yep.
That's pretty much a red state, except for the cities.
Yep, for sure.
I mean, that's ranch and hunting country when you get out there. I mean, that's so, you know, it's, you know, we got these city centers that are the only blue you see on the map. Everything else is red, and you know, they like to do what we like to do. They like to go out and enjoy nature and hunt, fish, do all that stuff, and
just a different mindset altogether. And, you know, people in the cities, it's not their fault. I mean, it's just the way that the way of thinking is just different there, you know. And, you know, we can't fault anybody for that. But, you know, if we want to do what we want to do, just let us do what we do. You know, if we want to have a trade show in Nebraska about hunting and have a great time and support each other, then we should be able to do that, no matter what's going on. That's my outlook on it anyway. Like, you know, we understand the risk right now, and if we want to go out and, you know, mask or whatever, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, whatever, cool. We'll just hope to see you out there. That's it.
Yep, exactly. We want everybody to come out, enjoy. We got a lot of great vendors. We continue to get calls every day. Just got a call from I was surprised because we pretty much, with the borders, you know, obviously our Canada vendors, the border shut down, so they aren't able to make it down this year. The New Zealand outfitters we had, their borders are shut down, so they're not able to make it out. And then, like, our South Africa outfitters, you know, they want to come back, but they lost all their clients this year, so they just can't, you know, they can't afford to do it. So they're, you know,
that's understandable.
We lost those vendors, but I got a call today from a completely new African vendor today that they're coming over. They, all their shows have been canceled, except for like three shows. So they're already planned to come over. And so they're coming over. They're going to come to our show. And,
very cool.
So we'll have an Africa outfitter there. We've got some, you know, U.S. outfitters that'll be here. Blinds. I mean, you know, we run the gamut. Blinds, you know, deer supplement companies, deer feeds, real estate companies. A lot of our nonprofits in the outdoor industry for Nebraska are out, are coming to the show.
Man, I do think it's going to be a good turnout, man. People are stir crazy. I think that's people the biggest.
People have been cooped up all winter anyways, and then you combine COVID with it. I think by the time middle of January rolls around, people are going to be ready to get out and do something.
Yeah, if everything's a go, people will be there. I'm looking forward to it, man. Buckstorm will be our booth neighbor, I believe. Great dudes there. Yep. It's going to be fun. I know we're going to have a blast. We're going to be cutting up. We're going to try and do some podcasts in the booth. We just hope people come out and hang out. That's the main thing. Let's get out of the house. Let's
have
do
a good time. Shoot the shit, drink a couple beers,
have some fun.
For sure.
Absolutely. It's going to be a good time. You know, it's, you got Rambo Bikes is going to be here. So come out and test out one of their bikes. They're going to let you ride them around.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Drink a half a dozen beers.
Step electric bikes got.
Right.
We're going to have a kid zone that, Bass Pro Cabela's is, bringing a bunch of inflatables out, archery, pellet guns, the 4-H, the Lincoln Shooting Stars 4-H Club will be out with the 4-H pellet gun trailer again this year. You know, I said we had the 3D shoot. We also got National Archery in the Schools program, which kind of is Prairie Bowman Archery Club that's putting on the 3D. They also kind of do that NASP area that's just for the kids to shoot the bows. You know, we're just going to have a lot of different stuff out there, a lot of things to keep the kids entertained. We've got a wine vendor, so you'll be able to sample some wines while you're out there.
Aw. Dude, I'm going to do laps and hit that wine booth. Just like, switch hats.
So, yeah, I mean, we got a little bit of everything. Taxidermy, you know, it's...
I like it, man. By the way, we didn't mention this earlier. January 15th, 16th, and 17th is the show dates. So
that's right.
Not too far out. We hope to see you out there, man. Everybody, just come out. Hang out with us. Get after it.
A month away.
Yeah.
Today's the 15th.
Yeah. Time to record it for sure.
Definitely going to be a good time. You know, it's I haven't I've talked to a couple places, you know, for like, you know, everybody getting together afterwards. But everything's been kind of limited on numbers for them to lock something in for us to go out there. So we'll probably what we'll do is just say, hey, we're going to go out to this place on this night, and everybody comes there.
Hey, that's easy. We can make bombard them.
Yep.
Just yep,
a bunch of hunters.
That's right.
High fancy establishment asking for Busch Light and whatever else.
But. Pretty much what we do every show.
I don't think there's a fight this year on that Saturday that we could get again, but
yeah, that's all right. I'd rather cut up a little bit, man. We've been cooped up so long. I'd rather mix it up with people than sit and watch something, you know. So it'll be fun. Let's do that, man. We'll help push the forefront on where we're gonna have our post social gathering for the show, but. No, dude, we're looking forward to it, man. We do appreciate you kind of like pushing through this weird time and saying, you know, hey, we're having the show. Let's do it. So that means a lot. You're helping people, all the vendors you're helping, small businesses, people in need, people that are losing income for all these other shows that are getting canceled. So big shout out to you, man, for doing this. It means a lot. And we're glad to do this podcast and promote it the way we have been here because it's good. You know, it's a win-win for everybody. And I think that more people and more media platforms need to start promoting the small business trade show type of stuff because in return, it's going to help everybody that's there. So
absolutely.
Right. Exactly. I agree with you. And I appreciate all the shout outs you guys have been giving us on your podcast. I appreciate it. I mean, it's like I said, it helps to get the word out there and, you know, tells me obviously you guys had a pretty good time this year that you're talking about it and
of course
getting the word back out there. And you know, like you guys said earlier, it was easy to talk to you guys because again, like you said, we're pretty much the same kind of people and think the same and have the same kind of sense of humor, whether that's good or bad, but you know, it was, you know, I felt like we hit it off and so I'm glad you guys are coming back and I appreciate the support and looking forward to a great time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Likewise.
Can't wait for it, man.
Well, cool. Anything we didn't cover that you need to shout out on the show and, or anything like that?
What was that again?
Anything you need to, before we head out of here, anything you need to shout out for the show or anything we missed?
You know, I don't. You know, I'm sure once we're off, there's always things I'll think of that I should have talked about. But, you know, I think I covered a lot of it. You know, just plug again. Make sure you bring your deer mounts, whether, you know, they're in the drying period or they've already dried, whether it's a shoulder mount, European, if you just got the skull plate. We don't care. Bring them mounts out and get them scored at the show this year. Enter them into the big buck contest. We'll also have the shed contest going on.
Oh, cool. Can people bring deer and stuff from out of state if they want?
Yep, absolutely. We'll have like our big buck contest is going to be for the 2019-2020 seasons. But then we have historical categories. So if you have something older than that you want to bring in, you can bring it in, and then we'll have a category for other states. So if you're, you know, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, South Dakota, Minnesota, wherever you're coming from, you can bring them down and enter them in the Big Buck Contest. We would love to have them and get them scored. And so I think so we've got we're probably going to have I think it's still standing, is the Nebraska state record elk will be on display in the Joel Helmer, who's one of our scorers, he wrote a book called Nebraska's Bucks and Bulls. It's a bunch of stories about some of the biggest mule deer, whitetail, and elk taken in Nebraska. He got with the hunters that took him and wrote the book. But his daughter, oh, what's it been, two or three years ago, she drew her Nebraska elk tag and shot the state record. It was...
I didn't even know there was elk in Nebraska.
420.
It was 420.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Over 420. Wowza. Yep. It's impressive.
Yeah, that's an impressive bull anywhere.
Yep. Nebraska's got a very good elk population.
I had no idea.
Yep. It's resident only. You got to be a resident to hunt unless you buy one. There are some auction tags out there.
So is that like a point system?
It is, but not, you know, like Western states, it's not the same. So, like, they just started the point system, I think, 7 years ago, because I think I have 7 points I'm maxed out. But the permits have been around for like 25 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
But they just started a point system, but you're not guaranteed. It's basically if you have 7 points, your name gets put in the drawing 7 times.
Okay.
Oh, that's wow. Insane. I had no idea.
Yep. So, and if you draw, it's a once in a lifetime. So if you draw your bull tag, then
you're done.
You harvest, then you're done.
What if you don't harvest? Can you draw another?
Then you have to wait 5 years and then you can start applying again.
Oh, oof. Wow.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yep. So, and the elk population, it's growing. I actually had, I also run a hunting club here in Nebraska called Big Red Outdoors. And, one of my guys was sitting in a tree stand. Oh, it was right before our rifle season started. And he sent me a video up in Knox County, Nebraska. It's up in northeast Nebraska. And sent me a video. He's like, holy shit. I just had a bull elk go by my tree stand, and you couldn't really tell in the video. I mean, you could see that it was an elk, but you couldn't really tell. But he said it was a really nice bull. But just for an idea, it's not really – they're pretty much western. There is a county up here. They do kind of spread on the north boundary. They'll spread to the east, but – we're talking the next county, 2 counties away is where they have the next closest season. And I think it's like 2 or 3 tags in that county per year.
I just looked up Knox County, Nebraska, and it's like straight down from the river that divides South Dakota. And
yep.
That is, you're damn near in Iowa to see elk.
Yep. It's, you're about a little over an hour away from Iowa. And I've got friends that live in Dixon County, which is just over from Sioux City.
No kidding.
They have elk there?
And they've videoed some elk that they've seen out in fields. I think they were all cows that they saw or that they've seen here the last year, but elk, I mean, the herd's really growing, so the elk are starting to spread out more because they got to expand their territory because the population's growing.
So they're slowly making their way east is what you're saying.
Dude, we had elk in Iowa and Illinois, we'd grow the biggest elk of all time. Well, maybe we wouldn't.
I'm kind of unrelated, but this is kind of crazy because Jordan's sitting here, and he said there's wolves right up where he's at, like 7 hours north of us up in Wisconsin. So we got wolves up there. We got elk pretty much in Iowa, and we just had a black bear run right through our county here in Illinois this summer. So
through Ross's ground.
Yeah, it seems like the wild animals are just closing in on us. I love it.
Hey, this black is bear run from a mile.
We got
house.
Moose out here. You know, talking about whitetail adrenaline, did you see that one episode they were hunting Nebraska and they filmed the moose?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, that was one of their early on ones. But yeah, there's moose sightings every year in Nebraska. And then that's probably been about 15 years ago now. There was a male wolf shot kind of up in that north central Nebraska area, and they DNA'd it back to a pack out of Minnesota.
Wow.
See, looking at the map here, it touches Colorado, touches Wyoming, touches South Dakota. Like, yeah, of course there's those critters there, but like you just don't think of it. Like,
yeah.
Top of your head, you're not thinking about elk in Nebraska. You think there's no elk until you hit Colorado. It's like the mindset generally, I think, for
that's like when the
well,
bear.
Yeah, and you know, we got a good population of mountain lions. This year we had the lottery again for a bighorn sheep. The guy just harvested it here a couple weeks ago, shot a real nice bighorn sheep on the lottery tag.
I feel so ignorant. I feel strongly ignorant. I didn't know animals like this lived in Nebraska. But I'll be honest, though, no offense, Chris, but like not a lot of people think about Nebraska in the Midwest anyway where I'm at. Like it's
Big Muley is what I think about.
Nebraska, this is what...
Well, I mean, what do you need to think about Nebraska for? You got... You're in Iowa and Illinois. You got huge whitetails there.
Well, that too, but I guess the one thing we do think about Nebraska is from mule deer. It's the closest mule deer state for us.
That's where Doug and I shot our mules at.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, we just did a couple podcasts with guys that killed, you know, mule deer in Nebraska. But, you know, when you tell someone in Illinois or Iowa, like, yeah, Nebraska, that's the flattest, most boring state to drive through on your way to Colorado. That's, like, all you hear.
And it always cracks me up because anytime somebody tells me Nebraska's flat, I say, let me guess, you drove through on I-80.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
River corridor.
Uh huh.
I said, did you drive a mile north or south of the interstate? No.
Nope.
I'm like, then don't tell me Nebraska's flat. We got the most varying terrain in Nebraska. From you get up in the Pine Ridge in northwest Nebraska, it's like the Black Hills. Down in southwest Nebraska where I grew up, it's big canyon country, you know, like western Colorado type canyon country. You get up in northeast Nebraska where I live now, and it's a lot of terrain. It's rolling hills with pasture ground and crop ground with hardwoods and cedars. Southeast Nebraska, you get down there, same kind of thing. It's got a lot of rock outcroppings. I mean, it's just, then we got the sand hills. You know, there's no other terrain like the sand hills anywhere in the United States.
That's where we hunted our muleys at, was right in the sand hills.
It's not, Nebraska's not what you think, Iowa and Illinois. Get your shit together.
No.
Don't be so ignorant.
Ignorant. We got antelope.
God, you guys got it all.
I mean, it's...
Damn, maybe Nebraska's the spot.
I think
it might
be the little gem in the rough.
Quit saying it.
We've been blowing up Ohio on whitetails lately. I think Nebraska's the new Ohio all of a sudden. This trade show is about to be the craziest trade
Nebraska
show.
Nebraska sucks for hunting, man. You guys don't want to come here.
I think we're going to have to get together here, man, and have to get moving on your hunting areas. Show us where the moose are.
We go out every year to the grasslands and do spot and stock antelope hunting every year. That's obviously, you guys have done plenty of that up in South Dakota with them Buckstorm boys, but
yeah,
that's some humbling hunting right there.
Doug, you've hunted antelope in Nebraska, haven't you?
Yeah.
How the fuck are you going to be all quiet this whole time and you've hunted Nebraska for antelope and you're just like sitting there with your mustache like, you ain't gonna bring it up.
I just think about the guy to shoot now.
Yeah, I was
all bothered.
Just say you're all scared about having to do this. Yeah.
Shoot. Like an idiot.
Well, hey, sorry.
But I miss an antelope in Nebraska, so I didn't want to talk about it.
Well, I mean, don't say that, man. Now you're gonna look bad going into this 3D shoot already.
Well,
dude,
Don't have to.
Golly.
Guys, you don't think at all, do you, Doug?
No.
Doug's like, I didn't do anything. You're attacking me.
I'll get paid to think.
Well, Nebraska's a hidden gem. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to meet a bunch of people at the Nebraska show, schedule podcasts with them, blow up your state, drive sales on tags and everything. Then people get burnt out. Then we'll move in and kill all the animals.
There you go. Like turkeys that. Is the hidden delight in Nebraska.
I heard that. I've heard that. We've been to Kansas a couple times for turkeys, but
I've seen videos of the outfitter we went to in Nebraska of the turkeys.
Yeah.
And it's fucking unreal.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Really.
I'm not a big turkey hunter myself.
Yeah,
I mean, I go out and I'll hunt them a couple times a year, but it's not, you know, it's not like, oh my God, I don't get out turkey hunting. I'm not like dying like I am if I'm not in a tree stand.
Right. Turkeys at antlers, it changed the whole game.
Yeah. But my, you know, one thing that's great about turkey hunting in Nebraska is there's no age for it. So I took my son out when he was six. He wanted to go turkey hunting, and he shot his first turkey when he was six. And I'll be damned if that son of a bitch didn't have four beards.
No kidding. That's awesome.
First turkey he shot had four beards. He gives me crap all the time about it because I've never shot one with four beards.
How old is he now?
He's nine.
Learning to rub it in the older he gets, and it'll just keep getting worse.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool, man.
he's pretty excited. Nebraska, once you got to be 10 to get a deer license. So he didn't get one this year because he doesn't turn 10 until February, but he'll get one next year. And his goal is to shoot his first deer with his bow.
Very cool. Man. Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, if he got a quadruple bearded bird, he's going to be looking at like probably a 200 for his first deer. So,
yeah,
double drop.
No,
time.
He told me, he said he don't care what it is. If it walks by, he's shooting it.
I like this kid. Perfect. I like it. Dude. He's got the mindset, and obviously he can get it done. So look out.
Yeah, that's it. I told him. I said I don't care either. Doe, spike. I don't care for your first one.
Yep. Of course,
shoot away.
That's awesome, man.
Yep.
Well, that's
if
cool.
If it's in range, let her rip.
Yeah, shoots a buck, 200-inch buck, double dropper, just rubs it in. The older he gets, the worse you hate that you got him into hunting.
She's a 400-inch bull the next year.
Yeah, 400-inch egg. Yeah.
Where do you go from there, though? As a 10-year-old, you shoot a 200-incher. What do you got to look forward to?
I guess you just sit him down, give him his first beer, and you say, listen, kid. It don't get any better from here on out. Enjoy what you got, man. 140 for you forever, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt.
First beer at 10. If I had a son and he killed a 200-inch deer, 10 years old, I'd be like, hey, you're going to drink this Bush Light with me because this is incredible. I'm the worst dad ever, apparently. But that's good. You're like, wow.
Clint should have drank a beer with his boy that night when he told him they weren't pussies, they were savages.
I know. I he told us that story. I'm like, man, I'm concerned for this.
Yeah.
I'm concerned for this kid's upbringing.
Yeah.
But Clint is exactly what his kid said, you know? Like, that's how they get it done.
Clint's,
I don't know.
Clint.
The Caspers, I have a feeling those boys are going to be big buck killers no matter where they go.
And hellraisers.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
For women and mule deer and elk all over the country, they're in trouble.
Yep, feel sorry for them already.
The Casper boys.
It's tough out here, man. It's a tough go. Well, Chris, thank you so much, man. I'm really looking forward to the show. I'm going to start the hashtag fuck COVID before this show. But no, man, we appreciate you having us there and putting this on and helping everybody out that's involved.
Yep,
absolutely. And I hope that listeners want to come out and hang out and kind of support everything that's going on. So. Big thank you for, one, doing the podcast, doing the show, and giving us a chance.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys are coming back out again. I appreciate all the shout-outs you've been giving me, the opportunity to be on your podcast. I mean, you guys are killing it. I mean, what are you on, like, God, I lost count. What are you on, like 430-some?
400 now? We don't even know. We're in the 400-something. four something.
I'm behind. I'm on like 408 or something.
We got like, at the time we recorded this, we have like 416 or 17 launched and then a bunch in the hopper.
Yep.
So it's
so I'm not that far behind then.
No, you're in the mix still. You're in recent times. You're in current events for the most part. But yeah, man, I mean, we've been hustling. There's no plan in stopping, just ramping it up from here on out, and a bunch of big shit planned for 21. So we're looking to tear it up.
Right on. Well, you guys keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome. I love listening to your podcast, so I appreciate you having me on and being part of the crew.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, yeah. Well, we will see you in less than a month, yeah. And I want to give a big shout-out to everybody that listened to this podcast. We hope to see you out there. Thanks for the support. And you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.